husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about being single in a family-centered church. I'm joined by three special guests, which I'm excited because this is part two of our series on this topic, and so part one was such a fun thing for me to listen to, and also in some ways was a little painful because I'm thinking, I need to be better. I need to be better in this, and so rather than me introducing them, I think I'll just turn the time really quickly and let them introduce themselves. So we'll start with you, Jean.
Hi, I'm Jean Tanner, and I live in Orem. I have never married, so I'm happy to be here today.
Had a little experience with being in the church and different ways people treat us, and you approach
yes,
it yourself.
Yes, I've had a lot of experience, so I can tell you about that.
I hope you do. Emily?
Hi, I'm Emily Osgathorpe Moore, and I have actually had the opportunity to both be married and be divorced and single as a mother, so that's what I bring to the table today.
Thank you. David?
I'm David Marsh. I have five children, three of which are single still, and they're in their 20s, late 20s. And I also served as a bishop of a student singles ward up at the University of Utah.
So as you can see, we have a lot of different voices bringing a lot of things for us to think about. And I'm hoping also not just think about, but that we can start to feel this is an important topic. We have a growing demographic of young single adults in the church where it's getting larger and larger. And yet some of the comments say they feel isolated. Some feel ostracized. Some feel in a situation where they're not part of the church. And ironically, there are, whatever the group might be, there are a lot of people in church that feel that way, whether they're married, single, widows or widowers, They're primary children. They're thinking, I don't know if I belong here. And I think that this is one of the great challenges within the church is how do we help individuals become part of the fold, part of the family? And we talked a little bit about this in our last episode. And so I'm hoping that you might shed some insight to those individuals who are in circumstances of a church that shows advertisements centered around families. We sing songs that have everything to do with family, etc. What can we do to be able to help individuals be part of the gospel so they might receive the fullness of its blessings? I'm just going to throw this out, and I might embarrass Emily on this one kind of as a starting point is, I thought it was interesting. I heard once your father talking about that you were given an opportunity to teach in Relief Society. And the topic that you were given to teach in Relief Society was, if I'm not mistaken, help me on this one, Emily, was something along the lines of celestial marriage.
Yeah, it was the eternal family.
The eternal family.
And I'd maybe been divorced a couple months.
So couple of months.
I was still coming out of a coma there. Yeah.
Difficult timing.
Difficult.
Difficult topic, perhaps, in a way, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I even had women come up to me afterwards and just, I can't believe they made you teach that lesson. And I mean, they were just as shocked as I was. So when I got up to teach it, I said, you know, I'm going to address the elephant in the room that I'm teaching this lesson today. And they all laughed. And yeah, it was a difficult thing. I actually had to go to the temple and really pray and really get into the doctrine, which once I did, I was fascinated by my answers and how much the Lord loves me, even though, you know, I didn't have the typical perfect-looking family.
See, this is really a good thing because you just added a component there where I hope we can explore is because I didn't hear that part of the story. Mm. I just heard the part about sisters saying, I can't believe that they would ask you to teach it on this topic and et cetera. And then the part of the story that I remember your father telling me was, is you just said, but this is the doctrine, and I'm a disciple of Christ. I should be teaching this experience because it's part of us now. And I love that. And I'm like going, yes, this is great. I've got to get Emily to come here and talk about this. But you just added a different element that's important. To be able to do that, there were some things that you did to prepare. It wasn't just like, I'll just be brave. but you went to the temple and studied, etc. So that's what I'm after is how do we do this? How do individuals in similar circumstances find the wherewithal, the strength, and the support to carry on a disciple's life when sometimes it's difficult, especially in this concept of a family-centered experience? We talk about marriage, we talk about families. And by the way, there are people who are married who do not have children, cannot have children, would long for children. There are families or individuals who are married, and their marriage is not good at all. And it is a label they wish they could get rid of, etc. So we're kind of in this together, but specifically with this single experience, share some thoughts of how do you maintain with this? And what can people do?
I've had those kind of lessons too, where you read the lesson topic and you just think, oh, you know, I'm single, I've never married. And they want me to teach about the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. And I think you think of it like Nephi, and I did go to the mount oft. And you go to the temple a lot and you find peace there. And the temple really has been a place for me to seek solace and to come to feel the Spirit so that I know that my Heavenly Father loves me. And those kind of lessons are very defining for my own personal growth too. And that's why I recognize that this is just a short time in life. We'll be okay. You know, the Lord watches out for us. And then I love President Ezra Taft Benson's talk to adult single women. And he talks about you'll be rewarded on the other side for what you've gone through here. So there's some great perks. It's a great talk.
This is really good. As a matter of fact, when you said that, Gene, I couldn't help but think of a scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants in Section 6. And this is coming at a time in the early unfolding of the Restoration. And so here you have Joseph, and he just meets Oliver, and they're getting ready to start in the translation. And when you get towards the very end of that section, there's a little line that says, "Fear not to do good, my sons." And then he talks about the law of the harvest. "For if you do good, you shall be rewarded." And I thought, let's put that in context. This was a difficult time. Whenever Joseph seemed to be doing good and he'd go tell people about a vision and a revelation, they'd burn the barn down. He would be persecuted. And there might be a tendency to say, okay, I know I should do good. But I like what you're saying here in the sense is, don't be afraid to do good. Don't be afraid to jump in, because the Lord will bless, sustain, and support. I believe that's true.
Well, you really have to look at your life, and at some point you have to decide, okay, maybe I might not get married in this life. And you have to say to yourself, what do I really want to accomplish? Because if you go back and look at all the talks from our prophets, they have all said, get your education, get your degree, continue. Don't be in a holding type of a job, waiting for someone to come along. And I mean, really, I asked myself one day, what am I supposed to do, get in the casket and wait? No, the Lord would expect me to continue on, forge forward. And, the other thing that he mentions in this great talk, Ezra Taft Benson, is make friends with married people and be around them. And I've done that. And it's my life has been great because of that.
This is good.
Yeah, I have a quote on my wall. It's from Target, of all places. But it says, pray about everything, worry about nothing. And I can tend to be a worrier, and things that can come at you when you're single. Like I was sharing with a friend, when I first became single, the first thing you do is you Google it. You know, divorced, what do you do as a divorced single mom? I got to figure out a plan. So I Googled it, and I found out that, A, my children were now going to live in poverty. B, they were going to be sexually promiscuous. C, they were going to basically struggle their whole lives. And if by any chance I got lucky enough to get married again, there's a 70% chance that was going to fail. So I thought,
thank goodness I did that Google search,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I thought, boy, I better throw in the towel. This is not going to turn out well. So, to that I say there is no pamphlet on being single in the church. There's no pamphlet on being divorced. But we do have prayer. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father loves each one of us. And I have been able to develop a relationship with Him that I had not previously had. And I do go to Him with everything. And so I would just encourage anyone who's single and personally struggling with it to do that. You know, my grandmother Cedric made us memorize, she didn't make us, she gave us $5 if we memorized Moroni 7, 43 through 48. And recently, about 6 months ago, I was thinking about that scripture. It says, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that you may be filled with this love. My entire life I have prayed in the mindset of so I can go out and serve other people. But for the first time in my life, I prayed unto the Father with all of the energy of heart to feel the love that he has for me personally. And it was an amazing experience that I continue to do. I wish I did it every day. I sometimes forget. It's not quite a habit yet. But when you are filled with the pure love of Jesus Christ, naturally we're going to go serve people. But you also will feel whole. You'll feel loved. And to those that are single and lonely, that can be a wonderful experience.
I love this. And as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of that scripture as you were saying it, is that you pray with the energy of your heart that you may be filled. And the reason I bring this up is some people are waiting around to be filled with the love of God, and then they'll start to pray. As soon as I feel accepted, then I'll start to embrace the gospel. As soon as I feel part of the fold, then I will come and be more participatory. And I love what you're saying. I think this is very powerful, is in many cases you plead and you earnestly come, and then comes the blessings. Is that fair?
Very fair. And, you know, I share this with my married friends, and I share it with everyone, and I just say, you know what? This is available to all of us every day. It's free. We can get on our knees and be filled with love. I mean, what a great gift.
That's really great.
Yeah, I really like that. You know, along with that, I was thinking of Doctrine and Covenants section 46, verse 11, that says each of us has at least one gift.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with your marital status. You know, God has given us all something, and so get out there and contribute. Lend that talent and that gift to building up the work, to the loving people in the neighborhood, and to making things better in this world. You don't have to sit back. I know of one friend who was in the single adult ward up at the University of Utah where I was, that she was actually the Relief Society president there, and she was on she had a professional job. And was doing well, but she just decided, you know what, I want to do something different. She wanted to go back to law school. And marriage was not imminent for her, and so she decided to do that. And now I follow her on Facebook and listen or read her comments about what's going on in law school, and I just applaud her for getting out there and doing something with her life, not just sitting back and, you know, as Jean said, getting in the casket and waiting, so... There's a lot that can be done, and I think we ought to realize that we all have something to contribute. We don't have to think about that in a proud way, but with meekness and humility, realize God has given me something that I can do with in this life.
This is very good. As a matter of fact, in that same section, it talks about you might need to discover what those gifts are. You might need to pray about those gifts. And so some people, they spend their time thinking, oh, I don't have anything, rather than saying, how do I discover and find the gifts that I can contribute? And a lot of that's through the living experience. And I'd like to explore a little bit more about this moving forward and moving your feet and get going. I think that this is a fascinating principle. I think of a talk where President Hinckley mentioned this, and it was to single adults in the church, and he said this, quote, "The best antidote I know for worry is work. The best medicine for despair is service. The best cure for weariness is the challenge of helping someone who is even more tired," end of quote. Isn't it amazing? So, and he was really the champion of this, is move forward, go forward. And even, you know, the statement is with faith. So let's talk a little bit more about that, or give some ideas about this concept of, you know, sometimes we have to move forward and do the best we can and live the life that we're living as we're looking forward to other things happening in our lives.
Well, I think there's a great quote that the Amish have, when you pray, move your feet. And I think that's really important, is when you pray, like Emily said, you know, you need to get up and take some action, and it's not good enough to just wait around for that to come. I know in preparing for Sunday school lessons or whatever it is we're called on to teach, when I read this talk by President Benson, President Monson read it for him because he was quite elderly at the time. He said he spent hours and hours preparing this talk, and it made me think, and I struggle sometimes to spend the time that it takes, but it really takes time to study the Savior. I think that's probably been the most pivotal point in my life, is taking the time to study the life of the Savior. and reading from the Book of Mormon every day, it just gives you a different attitude about life, and you just feel like you want to do more and accomplish more.
That's good.
Yeah, it makes me think back to right when I got divorced, and I call that first 2 months the coma phase. It's a phase I don't remember if I was feeding my children or what even happened, because I was in a lot of pain. And I've had some people ask me, you know, how did you get through that? How do you recover from that? And so to those who have lost a spouse or who are going through a loss of a family member or divorce, I think there is that phase where it's we need to grieve and we need to have some time to maybe we aren't out serving other people. Maybe we are the one being served and the one being hugged. And that's OK to have that period of time. But to get out of it was actually hard for me. I didn't have a lot of faith in that moment. I kind of felt like my life was over. You know, my entire purpose of life of being a wife and a mother had just kind of been ripped from me. And so in that moment, I prayed and I thought, you know, I don't have any faith. And I mean, I was praying, obviously, but I thought the only thing I told Heavenly Father, I can be obedient. That is one thing I can do. And hopefully someday I will gain faith again. You know, at that moment, I was so hopeless. I just couldn't grasp anything. And so I did, and I obeyed and obeyed. And the beautiful thing about obedience is that blessings come when you're obedient.
Right.
We are promised blessings. I mean, how many times do we see that? If you keep the commandments, you are blessed. So I did, and I just started doing that. And after a year and a half, so many blessings were coming my way that faith started to build again. And then the work comes, and those things build. So to anyone who might be in that position, I say, hold tight. It's very tempting to want to just throw your arms up in the air and say, you know what? It's not for me, whatever. I'm just going to give up and go this direction.
Right.
And I've seen lots of friends do that, and I don't judge them for it. I understand what they're going through. But I would say it's worth it to hold on. It's worth it to obey. And as you build line upon line, you'll get blessings and you'll get your faith back.
It's interesting, and I like this, is sometimes the delivery from those difficult times doesn't come until at the very last moment of the energy that you have exerted. For example, in the first vision, you know, at the very moment of the brink of despair, then comes the light of deliverance. And I think that's an important concept. Now, let me ask you this experience real quick is, do you ever feel cheated? In a sense, like, for example, is, well, wait a second, this isn't what I signed up for, or I had visions of this is the way my life was going to be. I think we all do this. And I remember one time coming to a point in my life, I thought, by this time, I should have been this, this, and this, and have done the X, Y, and Z, you know, kind of a thing. But I think in speaking with some individuals, whether it be my own children or friends and stuff, one of the things that really is difficult is they kind of feel like they've been cheated. I thought I would have a marriage like this, and I wanted my children to have this. I thought I would be married by this time. I thought that we would grow in twilight years together, and then my spouse passes away. And one of the difficult parts you mentioned about grieving is sometimes the grief of not having, not just of losing. Have you ever felt in that situation?
Oh, I do.
Do you do about it? What can people who feel that way do about it? Because this is a hard thing, and we don't talk about it very much.
We don't talk about it much. I sometimes look out the window, and I'm on my way to work, and I see all my neighbor ladies meeting on my corner to go walk. And I look out the window, and I think, oh, that's what I wanted my life to be like, and it didn't turn out that way. And they've all taken their kids to school, and they're now going for their exercise for the day, and I'm going to work. And, you know, you learn early. I mean, I don't mind work. I love work. But you learn that it's okay. And if you seek the Spirit, you know that that's your direction in life. I know many, many great women that they couldn't have accomplished what they have accomplished in their life had they been married. And so maybe there's a different calling for me. And that's what I see is that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I spent some good time on my knees saying, really, I agreed to free agency? What was I thinking?
Can we do a revote?
Yeah, can we redo it? Because I kind of wanted mine to be perfect, and it didn't turn out perfect. So, of course, you know, I spent a good year or two trying to sort through that. And a couple things that I figured out are that we actually cannot control what happens to us in our life.
That's difficult for people who are capable and are doers.
It is. But we can control our reaction. So the only thing I have ever focused on is my reaction to whatever's coming at me. So whatever comes at me, I get to choose how I react. And that's it. That's all we get to control. And the other thing that really helped me was to understand the importance of personal responsibility and being a victim. So actually, I was surprised how many people wanted to put me in a victim spot. Oh, poor Emily. And, oh, you know, this is so tragic for you and poor you. And after a while, I was like, you know what? This is not going to help me to be stuck in a little hole where everyone's telling me that I'm some sort of victim. You know, this has happened to many people. My grandfather was raised by a single mother. You know, I think Elder Oaks was raised by a single mother. Life happens, and you're not the only one this has ever happened to. Again, I'm not saying skip through the grief process or that you just need to get over it because you need to go through that. But at the end of the day, you can put, you know, your big girl pants on or boy pants, and you can get back to life. Life is wonderful. And there are some great blessings about being single, which we can discuss later, and some fun things about it too.
That's great. Let me go ahead, Gene.
Well, I just wanted to say that there's been a little affirmation that's helped me a lot over the years, and that is my willingness to change and to adapt to change is my greatest asset. And I say that to myself all the time because you have to be willing to go with the flow and recognize and change in your life and be adaptable. You can't stay in the same mode your entire life.
I think that's a secret for every stage, regardless of your circumstance. I really like that. Now, let me just do one quick follow-up and then we'll move forward. But and this might be a little too personal, but I'm going to be brave and ask anyway. Specifically in your circumstances, do you still have dreams? Do you still have hopes for a future?
Yeah, of course.
And visions of what it could be? I mean, the reason I bring this up is sometimes I think we get in our minds that it's like, well, you know what? Maybe the ship has sailed and I had my chance. And we kind of categorize individuals saying, just deal with it. And that's your lot in life. And so that's it. Without thinking that maybe that they are still saying, oh, wait a second. Gene, you keep on saying life is short and things are going to work out. It seems there's an important part of this is that there's still dreams and hopes that things are going to progress and that my dreams will come true. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm just wondering.
No, I absolutely would like to get married someday. And I pray about it. And I think it's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. You know, it's kind of like when you go to Young Women's, Emily will remember this, and they have that special lesson on getting married in the temple, and they bring in the lace tablecloth, and all the pictures of the temples are on the wall. And
David, I think we missed this lesson.
And the white dress.
And the white dress.
It wasn't in the priesthood.
And, you know, and we kind of have the lesson about, you know, what do you want in life, and you want a temple marriage, and you make this list of what you really want in life, and then you get my age, and people say, oh, you're too picky. But, you know, all the prophets have said the value of temple marriage, and most single people have had the opportunity to get married, but, you know, they want to stay true to their beliefs and values. And I have many friends from around the country that can't understand why I only want to marry an LDS man. They think I limit myself, but that's what my goal is, to get married in the temple. And I don't feel like I should settle for anything less.
That's good.
Yeah, I go through phases. I think sometimes I am so busy trying to be the mom and get them to where they need to be and be working and stuff that sometimes it does get off my radar a little bit. I think sometimes people are surprised when I say, yeah, I've probably dated over 100 people in the last couple of years. We go out, we meet. There are a lot of single people out there. And that was one thing I had no idea. I mean, I was the only person that I knew that was divorced at the time. And I was shocked to know that there are tons of single people out there, wherever you are, to meet. And I actually prayed just to even find some girlfriends, just to have something in relation with. So, you know, if you need to find friends out there, say a prayer and Heavenly Father will lead you to people so you can connect. But yeah, I was recently with my brother in Washington, D.C. I took my kids out there for Thanksgiving. He invited us, and watching him interact with my children for 8 days was so much fun. And it gave me such a reminder of how much those little boys need a dad to roughhouse with and how much I need someone to talk to and counsel with at the end of the night. And it gave me something to kind of hope for again. So yeah, we're observing married people. And so it's fun to be able to work together and that gives us hopes and dreams.
These are great because I think maybe this is too personal on my part and I'm extrapolating it too far, but for me, hope is the great essence of my life and has always been. When I was a teenager, it was the hope for the future and the hope that things would be better. And here at my age and in my circumstances, as I might have a different label, but actually at the core of the rock of everything I look at is hope in the future. I'm hoping that I might make it to be more like Heavenly Father. I have such a long way to go that it's a little discouraging. And I think that I might get in the attitude of the ship has passed me by. I'm never going to make that. You know, that's beyond my capability. I read my patriarchal blessings sometimes and think, this is the wrong, I got the wrong guys because this is too good for the likes of me. But deep down inside, there is a hope. There's a hope that maybe God still has a great things in store and wants me to have that experience.
Well, this week I was obviously thinking about this topic, and in January's Ensign, there was a great quote by Elder Faust. It says, "It does not help to become so obsessed with the desire to be married that we miss blessings and opportunities for development while we are single. If you are striving for excellence, if you are trying your best day by day with the wisest use of your time and energy to reach realistic goals, you will be a success whether you are married or single."
That's good. I like that a lot. Ooh, I like it.
You know, I actually really do like that because it says to me, look, whether you're single or married, God has a plan for you. And who's to say that the experiences that someone who is single is having are not shaping them and refining them exactly the way the Lord wants them to be shaped and refined and to become more like Him. I find in many cases that being single brings a perspective to a discussion that nobody else in the room could bring. And,
right.
and it brings insights and understanding to everybody in the room because of the experiences that they've had. I mean, if we really believe that God orchestrates certain things in our lives, I don't know that He orchestrates everything, but I do believe that He does orchestrate a lot of experiences in our lives, then why wouldn't we believe that same thing for people who are not married? It just, He loves us and He wants us to be refined and perfected and you know, just a little bit chipped off here, like Joseph Smith said, a rough stone rolling kind of a thing. And that's for everybody.
I love this. I'm glad you brought up this quote, Emily, and even the mentioning of, and Jean, you've done this too, is, well, I like this talk, and I was reading on this topic, and I came, and this is, I think this is an important thing to mention. What type of resources are out there for individuals that are wanting ideas? I mean, we live in a society today where if you want to get good ideas, you go to Pinterest, and there they are mapped out for you and stuff, and I thought, well, surely there's some areas similar to that where people are saying, I want some ideas. I want some support. I want something to build me. Where can I go? And so we see the Ensign. Any other experiences of resources that the church is providing that are helpful to individuals? I know if you go to the LDS site, there's a lot of pictures of families on there. And some people say, I don't want to go there because it's just a constant reminder of what I'm not, you know, kind of a thing. But this is the sad part. There are so many resources out there that are available, but most people don't know where they are. Any experience or thoughts of what's helpful?
You know, I think the greatest resource is other people that have the same situation.
This is a good thought.
I don't think we have to make being single the only topic. I think that makes everybody feel, you know, weird and awkward. But we don't have to make it the thing we don't talk about either. You know,
right.
So go talk with people. Bring it out and say, hey, how are you doing with this? What are you struggling with? What are your successes? And just be genuine about the conversation.
Just let me ask you, in your own experience as far as it goes, is that fair? Do you feel when people ask, what can I do to help? Or what? I mean, this is one of the problems. Some people say, I don't know what to say. I want to help in a situation. You have young children. I don't want to offend her, and I don't want to think that she's not capable of being able to watch her kids. At the same token, they're saying, I want to help. Any thoughts on that? I like what you're saying is, ask them or.
Oh, yeah. Other people, that is the number one. I could go on and on. The other night, I was thinking about things that people had done for me. And within 10 minutes, I'd come up with over 60 things that I could think of on the top of my head in the last 4 years that people had done just to be nice. So, yes, ask the question. Again, like your son, you know, better to ask and say no. my home teachers have always been fantastic and always are asking, you know, they want to come climb on my roof, and I can tell they want to get out there and do everything they can. And I, when they ask the question, I say, yes, you can come every month and give a spiritual lesson.
So it doesn't have to be a manual labor experience.
No, it doesn't. It can, and I say, all I want is two males in my home for my two little males sharing the gospel and the spirit in my home every month of their lives until they leave this home. So you come every month like that and I'm good. And they're always shocked and so pleased, you know, and they're like, we want to do more. You know, they'll come with Skittles on my son's birthday because they remember 6 months ago his favorite treat was Skittles. They'll shovel my... Shoveling my driveway has to be the best thing ever. So you can't go wrong with that one, I think. But yeah, I mean, I could go on and on for 10 to 20 minutes. But yes, you know, doing more, loving people, can't go wrong.
It's great.
You know, I would just really want to say something to the married women that appreciate your husbands and for the fact that you have the priesthood in the home. I think that's one of the most difficult things is not having the priesthood in my home. And I know I could call my home teacher or my brother or brother-in-law for a blessing, but I think that's something that sometimes married women don't recognize how great that is, that the person giving you the blessing loves you with all your heart. And so I would say recognize that too. That's an important value in life.
This is a good point.
And on the other people, last night I was at a dinner with seven or eight single parents. A couple of them are now married and having children. And there was a group of people that we met about, you know, a year out of our divorces. And we just happened to somehow have a married friend who knew somebody who knew somebody. Oh, she's single. Maybe you could talk to her and she could support you. And we've been able to support each other through this experience. I mean, one helped me go buy a car the other day because I was afraid to go buy a car by myself, you know.
Right.
And so we can support, you know, other people are our greatest asset. And if you are single, having someone who's going through that particular event at the same time can be very helpful.
That's so good. Well, we are so short on time. And I think of the resources, I think we'd all agree scriptures can be a good resource. You've mentioned temple, attending the temple when possible. I think sometimes if one is not able to go within the temple, even getting in proximities of or finding things about the temple are very helpful as far as that
would be. I think one thing, too, is learning how the Lord speaks to you personally.
Oh, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes he speaks through the scriptures and other times not, through a person perhaps. And so I think learning how the Lord speaks to you individually is super important.
This is really good. Well, we're almost out of time, and so I'd like you just to think of perhaps one last thing if you're saying, oh, for those who are listening, here would be my parting shot of what I wish that I could just somehow communicate. So if you'll think about that, we'll come to it, because I think that this has been very instructional for me and helpful. I am grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ that helps us to see more in our lives regardless of our circumstance. I mean, you hear often it's almost trite where people say, what would I do without it? I don't even want to go there. I don't want to know what I would do without it because I know I wouldn't do well. But with it, you know, all things truly are possible, and there are ways which we can make headway now and for the future and to find sustenance and support, etc. So I'm so grateful for that. But what might we share be able to say just in parting as far as that goes? David?
You know, this is going to come off as a shout-out to all the young single adults out there.
But well, then shout it out.
I think the most profound thing that I felt and learned serving in that capacity with those young single adults was that this church is going to be in good shape. It's going to be in good hands in the future. These young adults are already serving and magnifying their callings and at the same time preparing themselves to be of greater service in the future. So the church is in good hands as we move into the future.
That's great.
I think I'll speak to maybe the divorced or widow just because that's kind of where I'm at. And at that dinner, you know, three out of those five girls are now remarried and all three are actually pregnant.
Wow.
And some of them are their husband is having a first baby. They've never been married. And it's a really neat experience. And I thought, you know, if 2 years ago we were all sitting around and I said, you know what, guess what? In 2 years, you're all going to be married and pregnant. We would have laughed and said, there's no way. Life is a little bit hopeless. And it was fun to think, you know what, live with faith. Because you don't know what's around the corner. And if we live with faith, you know, we can be blessed. But if we're living in fear and we're scared all the time and our life is hopeless, you know, we might attract a little bit more of that into our lives. So I would just say that is, as we live with faith, we'll be blessed.
That's great.
Well, my parting shot would be really study the scriptures, not just read them. Study and I think really learn the doctrine of the church. I think it's so comforting to understand it on a deeper level. And, you know, I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm doing the best I can. I've heard my single friend say, I'm doing the best I can. But there's a great quote I love by Winston Churchill, and he says, sometimes it's not enough to do your best. You have to do what is required. And to me, regarding the church, that means study the scriptures, say your prayers, and reach out to others.
These are great comments. Some might say, oh, they're too simple, but isn't it the simplicity that brings the greatest traction in our lives? And I truly appreciate all that you have said, and I just can't help but think of the mainstay of the gospel of Jesus Christ is, I'm paraphrasing hugely now, but don't you dare give up. I hope that we would never give up on our Father in heaven, never give up on the plan, never give up on things that you have said, revelation, scriptures, other individuals, etc. And that is the great hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ in every aspect, in every season of our lives, and in every circumstance. Allow it to work on us, in us, and with us. Thank you so much for your comments and for sharing. I have learned much, and I am grateful, and I hope others have felt what I have felt. I just wish they could have been here with us so that they could see your animation and just how fun you are together. This is the best part. But I hope that we will always find peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.